Order. Welcome, everybody. Who would like to open up, start the presentation?
And if we can, guys, if you would, let's move that podium a little closer. That way we have some internet listeners and and it helps us record all the meetings. So. Yeah, move it away from the wall a little bit so you guys at least. That's good. That's perfect.
They might want to move over here so they can have better eye contact with you.
It's up to them.
Whatever.
Okay. Hey, good morning. I'm
Martin
Tam. I'm president of GEP and the company that owns the Branson Creek Development Project, located just south of Hollister. The purpose of our discussion today is to try to give an overview of a request that we would like to make to the county to approve an expansion of our existing Branson Creek Community Improvement District boundaries within the overall Branson Creek Development Project, which covers approximately 6,500 acres that are all contiguous parcels. Just to give you a quick bit of background, in approximately 2003, we had come to the county and requested permission to create a Branson Creek Community Improvement District, which the county approved. And at that time, the purpose in creating the district was, as the developer, we had already constructed all of the infrastructure in interior to the parcel at that time. And what we did was we issued a bond that was marketed by William Blair and Company, a 20-year bond that was being repaid from special assessments as we developed the property on the interior. And the proceeds of the bond were used to acquire from the developer the infrastructure improvements that we had already made. And at that time, they comprised everything from roadways to wastewater treatment plant and water facilities and so on. And when that bond was done, it was a little bit in reverse to the traditional way that it was done because we had already built and paid for all those improvements, so there was no debt, and we were really just having the district acquire them from us and then using that capital to further reinvest in the project. One of the things that we did at that time with that bond was we had the opportunity to secure a very low rate of interest on the bond. And by very low, I'm talking about an interest rate that in the past 5 years has probably fluctuated between 1.25% to 2.5%. It was an extraordinary deal for us, but the way that we accomplished that was we secured the bond with a letter of credit that was issued by the developer, Branson Development. So at that time, it was roughly a $14 million bond, and we secured the bond with this letter of credit. And so therefore, we achieved a very low rate of interest. In recent months, going back 6 or 7 months, when the bank started to encounter some problems, some of those problems began to filter down to us. And when we originally issued our first bond, one of the conditions was that we maintain the letter of credit with an A-rated bank. And as you know, in the fall of last year, A-rated banks started becoming B-rated banks and C-rated banks. And it put us in the position where suddenly we were scrambling to try to find somebody who was an A-rated bank to replace the letter of credit with the original issuer we had. And in this environment, it was very difficult to do that. We were able to basically get this thing stabilized, but one of the things that occurred to us is that this is potentially a continuing problem for us, and what we wanted to do was virtually eliminate this letter of credit. Our request today is coming back to basically a request from the county permission to expand within our Branson Creek development our existing boundaries, which currently cover approximately 650 acres of land, to expand our boundaries where we're the sole property owner to include all 3,200 acres of our first phase. By doing that, we'll then be in a position that we can amortize the repayment of our bond over the entire project rather than a small portion of it, and we will then issue a new bond, pay out the old bond, and be able to continue on another 20 years, basically, with a repayment similar to what we have currently, but over a broader piece of land. Because we encumber it over 3,200 acres rather than 650, we give the bondholders the additional security they require to waive the requirement for the letter of credit. So it's primarily a refinancing structure for us. And for that, we have to pay a higher interest rate, but essentially it eliminates that potential risk that we have for the next 20 years. What we'd like to do today is try to communicate what the impact of that is in our own development and answer any questions that the county may have with respect to if any impacts on the county itself. And then with an understanding of what we are proposing to do, then we would like to make a formal request, come back with a formal request to the county after we have some input about any concerns that may be raised about it.
Go ahead, Bob.
According to the process, I don't think you need our permission to take stuff out of the district, but you need our permission to put it in. Is that
just to expand the district?
Right, and you plan on taking some out. Is that correct?
Right. What we're talking about excluding, and the attorneys can speak to this, is the property that we've already developed. And what's taken place is when the original bond was issued, it was $14 million. And within the district, we've already begun some development. So we've actually paid that bond down from $14 million to $10.9 million. So we're taking the land that we've already developed, repaid the bond, and excluding that in going forward.
Makes it easier to sell that property if it's not subject to the CID taxes, but then again, it doesn't spread the tax burden out, but that's your problem, I guess, more than it'd be the county's problem. But you have a five-year plan, right, that in the original petition?
No, it's a 20-year plan, but when the CID on the existing plan that we have been functioning under with the existing bond, when we develop a piece of property, we never pass that assessment on to the actual buyer of a condominium or a home or a property. What we do is on the land itself, as we put it into development, we've paid down the bond principal based on how many units we're going to develop. So we haven't treated it like a tax on the property. So at the point where the property is actually developed, there's no longer any CID assessment appropriated for that piece of property. It's been fully paid.
The CID is formed not as a not-for-profit, but as a municipal corporation, I mean a governmental entity.
It's a political subdivision.
Which I guess your opinion is that if the CID owns a piece of property, then that would be a tax-exempt piece of property. I guess what could affect the other political subdivisions, such as the school district and other things, is if the CID planned on owning a significant amount of property that might be tax-exempt in the area, and we'd probably want to look at that a little bit and maybe have that in the petition that you're limited to how much land the CID can actually own, making that property exempt, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think the attorney can probably better answer that or speak to that issue, but I don't believe the political subdivision owns any land. The way that we're talking about it is strictly that the area within the subdivision is accessible for repayment of the bond, but the only assets that are owned by the CID are actually physical assets like the road.
Right, but the CID could purchase at any time, and we had that come up in BOE, not in reference to your CID,
okay,
but a different CID in that the city of Branson formed, and what ended up happening is there was property that was made tax-exempt by the CID,
okay,
obtaining the property. And if anything, we might want to, if possible, limit the amount of property that the CID can own,
okay,
so that we don't hurt the school district.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I don't think that's...
I understand.
That's not our intention,
okay,
but that's something that I think they can speak to. I wasn't even aware that you could do that.
So okay.
But So what I'd like to do is maybe turn it over to Rick McConnell and have Rick kind of give a better understanding of what we're talking about doing physically on the property.
Sounds good. Rick, you want to add to Bob's? I saw you shaking your head.
Yeah.
Positive way there.
Can I ask one more quick one before
sure.
we start? You guys have audit requirements, too, as a governmental entity, and you're obviously subject to the Sunshine Law. Are there audits that have been done that, you know, we could look at the books, I guess?
You know, TDD's Transportation Development Districts are audited by the state auditor every 3 years. Other than that, there's not a requirement. Now, we can have an audit done. I'm not sure if we've had audits done in the district. I don't think we probably have. If that's something we wanted to do, we could do something.
Just a thought.
Yeah. And as to your question in terms of limiting what the CID can own, we certainly can do that in the petition. The intent's never been here to do anything more than those public
I wasn't trying to insinuate that it was.
Yeah, but it's a good point because sometimes these districts will own green space or something like that that is not intended to be developed. And what we're saying here is that's just not something.
Does anyone have a hold of the microphone closer?
I'd like to have David Buschek from our firm at Gilmore and Bell talk to you a little bit about just the process that we'll go through for all these things. And I'll hand out some maps and
just a little closer.
Whatnot to help you walk through that.
There you go. Perfect.
Okay. Sorry about that. So this will be David Buschek from Gilmore and Bell to speak with you.
Welcome, David.
Thank you. As Rick said, my name is David Buschek. I'm with the law firm of Gilmore and Bell. And I joined the firm in 2004, which is a couple years after the CID was initially formed. And I'm with the Economic Development Group in our firm, and we handle the type of procedures that we need to go through in this situation to add property, remove property, and so forth from the CID. I'm one of the few attorneys at my firm that I don't call myself a bond attorney. I just focus on the economic development practice. And so what we did is we took a look at the CID Act to determine what procedure we need to walk through to accomplish everything that he just explained. And we have some maps to illustrate what's going to be happening. So there's really three steps that are involved in this process. Can everybody see this?
Yep.
The first of the three steps will be a petition that's filed with the county to add property to the district. The existing district boundaries encompass an area that's about 612 acres. And on this map, the shaded area is the existing district boundaries. And the crosshatch area, which is essentially everything else on the map, excluding this white area here, will not be added, but this longhorn sort of shape here will be added. So all this crosshatch property here, and then this parcel over here.
It has to be contiguous.
That's correct, and it is all contiguous.
Can use a thin slice like that to make it contiguous.
That's correct, and we specifically looked at that issue. The initial map that was drawn up by the surveyor didn't have a connection right here, and so this longhorn-shaped island was sitting on its own, and we took steps to make sure that this property, which is currently in the district, this connection here, is currently in the district, will remain, so that will be a connection, and that will be a little more clear on one of the next maps I'll show you. So there will always be a connection, so all the property will remain contiguous, the finished product, which I'll show you in just a moment. So the first step will be a petition to add the property, and the procedure to be used is very similar to the initial procedure to form the district. The petition is filed, it's reviewed by the clerk, it's passed on to you, and then a hearing will be held with prior notice. There'll be published notice, and there'll be mailed notice to the property owners within the district. And then that action will come before you for consideration to add property. Now, simultaneous with that will be a request to remove property from the district. This one's a little smaller. Maybe I'll hold it up here.
You have the same hearing requirements for that, but you all can do that through your governmental entity. But are you going to be asking us to just do it? I mean, and you're going to do it along with it? You're going to have the hearing at the same time?
Actually, there's a hearing required for this step, too. Right. What the statute requires is set aside for a moment the adding property step. There's a separate procedure altogether for removing property, and that's something that needs to be requested of the county. A public hearing is held, again, with prior notice.
And both of those steps need the consent of the existing CID. So the CID Act provides for a procedure to add property and a procedure to remove property. And we can essentially handle those simultaneously. But technically, there'll be separate requests. So there'll be the petition to add property that's filed with the county and a written request, which will be in the form of a letter, to remove the property. And the property to be removed is this parcel and this parcel. And I mentioned a bit ago, we're making sure we maintain the connection. There's this southeastern corner of this parcel, which I believe is roadway, and that will stay in the district. So back to the map here, this island that comes into the district will be connected through this parcel here. So again, everything will be contiguous. So you'll have two separate steps that you can handle simultaneously, one to add the property, one to remove the property. And then the final picture will look like that. So you have the original district, you have the property that's been added, and you have the property that's been removed by those two actions. And that will be the final lay of the land and the property that's in the district. And then the third step will be a petition, an amended petition. So once the district is reconstituted and the acreage, when the property is both added and removed, is approximately 3,128 acres, then an amended CID petition will be filed, and that will change the method of assessment. And that's where we can handle the issue that you raised earlier, which is a statement that a limit on the CID ownership of property to avoid that tax exempt issue. We can add that to the petition that we'll be preparing. So of the three steps, add property, remove property, and then approve the amended petition, which amends the special assessment method that he talked about earlier. Those are the three steps that we'll be walking through. The first two steps can be handled essentially simultaneously, and then once property is added and removed and we're finished and we have this final picture, then we'll file the third step, the amended CID petition, which will change the method of assessments and handle the other issue that was raised this morning.
Okay, as far as your concern about, you know, having property, green space, or whatever, when would that, how's that work in?
That'd be in the amended petition. You're saying we would limit at that point?
That's correct. In the third of the three steps that I walked through, the amended petition, we can add the limitation that you discussed this morning, some sort of statement that limits CID ownership of property, because I don't think that was the intention. It's we're adding property to the district, meaning it's within the boundaries of the political subdivision, but it's the intention is not to have the CID own the property.
There was one other issue, if I may interrupt.
Sure.
At some point, and I'm trying to remember now, and Rick may know something about it because I know he talks to our collector. There was an issue about the collection of taxes and how that's handled. And why don't you speak to that, if you will?
I think with most of these types of districts, what you have is that the collection process actually runs through the property tax billing and collection cycle just like any other property tax. Historically, with this particular district, that has not been the case. They have a very unique assessment scheme that's based on when property is sold, and the assessments are paid in large blocks. Going forward, that will not necessarily be the case, and I actually spoke with the collector just very briefly last night.
Would like something a little more conventional.
Yeah, then that is exactly what we're going to move to here, because as this property is developed, it will pay probably on a smaller parcel basis. And so really the only reasonable way to do that is through this well-established collection process that the county has and is certainly very good at. So I think mechanically what that involves is working with the collector, working with her software, which is a cost that we, you know, that these districts will bear and will also in this case to essentially get another line on the tax bill where appropriate. For these assessments. So
would that be handled in that same portion, or would that be handled somewhere else, or in the amended petition?
Yes. I think the amended petition is sort of where we bring the current deal sort of up to speed. This is what we're going to have going forward. Right now, the amended petition is, I think, most necessary because right now we have a certain assessment scheme that's very unique. We're going to move to this more conventional type of assessment scheme. It's sort of apples and oranges, and one of the requirements of the statute is that you have to have the maximum rate of assessment in your petition. So we just have to come back to you for your approval for changing that methodology. And when we do that, we'll deal with all these other issues. And
we're on a learning curve with the county, and I'd just like to kind of smooth out the issues that have kind of ruffled some feathers as we go along here.
Sure.
The other thing I think and I apologize for interrupting, but the other thing these gentlemen might want, I don't know, you said you had a 20-year plan. I thought I read that a 5-year plan was required.
Yes.
It'd be nice to know how you've met at least the first, since 2003, what is that, 6 years of the 20-year plan, what the money was spent on.
So sure.
That, I mean, obviously they're granting their approval to this, that while you don't have audits, they'd sure like to know how you've done so far and what you've done with the money, I think.
Absolutely. That would be fine. The 5-year plan is the statutory requirement for the petition, and that was in there. And I think Tim was speaking more to sort of the macro financing view of how the deal works. But we'll certainly satisfy the statutory requirement of the 5-year plan.
And I think they would want to know how you've done so far.
Sure.
So that they know what they're giving their approval to.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So to summarize regarding the procedures, there's three steps: add property, remove property, and approve the amended petition. And if everything goes as planned, this will come before you twice. The first meeting will be the first two steps, add and remove property, which can be handled at the same meeting. And then later, we'll come back to amend the petition, taking care of the change in assessment method and the other issues that we've discussed here.
It sounds like the school's protected. I mean, it's not going to cost schools anything. Has there been any conversation? Should we have conversations, do you think, with our school district?
Wouldn't hurt to talk to Tim Taylor. I believe the entire CID is within the Hollister School District. Is that correct?
Sure, go ahead.
And I don't believe they have a problem with this.
No, I've actually met with Tim Taylor, and we've been looking at a site out there for school location, so we've had, and his architect, the architect for the school board has been up there.
Okay.
So we, we haven't discussed the bond or the CID, but we've been citing a location that they're currently, doing some topographical survey to see whether or not it's appropriate for elementary schools.
So they have absolutely no problem with it. They're actually in favor of the CID out there.
No.
I mean, we're looking at it. We're in favor of the school being out there, and we're really working with them to try to make that happen. And the same with the fire department. We told the fire department we would give them a piece of land for
I guess the gist of Chuck's question, though, is are we going to need to talk to the school district and have them say, yeah, we're for this or we're against this? Are there any other downsides to the school district other than possibly the CID owning property? And if we're looking out for the school district, what should we be thinking about here? I don't know that it's your job to tell us that.
Well, I think I can tell you that the...
Tim, maybe you better come back to our... No, that's good. Would you come back into Mike, please?
Sorry.
From our point of view, there's no desire to have the CID own any property that it does not currently own unless it's a sewer line that we construct. From the school district's point of view, the development plan is what pays the school taxes, and we're not requesting any abatement of any taxes that would normally be collected by the school. So basically, the more development out there, the more revenue for the school board,
right?
I would think. It's
right.
The opposite case to what you're...
There's no TIF overlay or anything like that. So
no, I think you're permitted to do that within a CID, but we've never requested any sales tax or any of that to be abated. We've never requested from the school board any abatements. So.
Just summarizing, high-dollar development is good for the school district. It brings a lot of value with very few kids.
And residential, yeah. And especially the market that we have there, which, they don't have a lot of kids, but they pay the
right.
taxes.
Right.
Okay.
That sounds good. Probably just be good for us to give the fire and give Tim a call. And
communications.
Just let them know that we're talking, and if they've got questions and when the meetings are, petitions, blah, blah.
And and future planning of road development, transportation, and this and that, I'd be interested in knowing the area that you have considered for the school project that you're talking about. It would. Okay, I'm familiar with the property and the different parcels that have been bought over the years, and would it be on the BB side of?
Another quick question along with that: when you get rid of some area, as you're going to, and it has infrastructure in it, who is it dedicated to, and are we going to end up taking in roads that are no longer in your governmental entity's district because you've now amended your district and taken them out?
No, the only property that's being removed in this application are actual subdivisions, so it's the interior portion, and the interior portion of all roadways are maintained by the association within them. So none of the main roadways are being withdrawn from the none of the primary backbone infrastructure is being withdrawn from the district. It's only a subdivision that is developed, and all interior roads of those subdivisions are maintained by the association that owns the interior space.
Okay.
But going to the thing that that you had requested about the school location, the site that we were looking for, if you are familiar with the project, when you come into Branson Creek, just when you cross the first bridge over Turkey Creek, on the right-hand side is the old town of Melva and the mm-hmm. Fieldstone Villa development. And what we're looking at is immediately on the left, we have an Empire substation, and if you go in roughly 300 feet or 400 and there's not a road cut there, we have a valley in between the outside hill and the back that is basically bottom land that would kind of be off of the main boulevard but immediately accessible. It would have two exits, or an entrance and an exit, two different points of egress on the left-hand side of the road. So the area they're looking at is the bottom land in there. So we've given them a plat, and they had their architect taking a look at it. I don't know if they've been back to us or not, Scott.
That directly above the Hollister Sewer District's plant, then, it off of the BB side of the county, it would be on the old Layton Place, is what I'm thinking. And it's, I don't know whether you're familiar with the boundaries of the properties that were bought beforehand, but it location-wise from the existing school, it's going to be some distance from the original school.
Yeah, it. Yeah, it would be. I mean, you know, it's funny. We could run a zip line from Branson Creek directly into the existing school, but by road, it's quite a convoluted.
Right.
You know, you have to get out to 65 and across. But I mean, as the crow flies, it's literally straight across.
Mm-hmm.
But the only access would be off of Branson Creek Boulevard in the location. And I think that they're looking at this 7 or 8 years down the road. They're not looking, they're kind of anticipating future needs and trying to site this based on that. So.
That's interesting to think about, you know, the infrastructure that needs there. I was wondering about the addition of this, is what this does to our, you have bought space in the Hollister utility, sewer utility plant, Branson Creek has, as I understand it. Am I right, Bob?
19% capacity or something like that?
19%, that has never been.
No, we own one-third of the capacity.
So you own 33, you bought more at.
No, we've always owned 33% of the capacity.
So
we've then, never used it, but we've always owned it.
Right, and that's of interest to me to try to keep this in mind because of the, now they're thinking about some expansion, right, Bob?
There's some talk of running some sewer lines out there. There have been talks at various times of doing sewer lines in conjunction with GEP out there, but I think a few years back you guys decided to do your own come up your own plants, I believe.
Well, we have an existing DNR approval for an on-site wastewater treatment plant. We have an existing approval for the expansion of that plant by 100,000 gallons, and we've just finished a feasibility study on building the pipeline from Branson Creek to the Hollister treatment plant. And because, and we also met with the county sewer rep, and we met with DNR, and even though we have an approval for expansion of our existing plant, everybody that we've spoken to really is of the view that they'd prefer that we not do it, even though DNR has approved it and it was grandfathered from before. So after talking to all of these different parties, what we've elected to do is, and part of the bond proceeds that we're doing with this bond, is we will be able to build that pipeline from Branson Creek to connect to the Hollister plant, assuming that we have the approval of the property owners in between to do it, which kind of runs along the bottom line. We have about 1,600 feet.
The closest place is what, the old Lutheran church where the line is right now?
No, we connect, we go right to the plant. Because our property runs kind of above Turkey Creek, and we just go straight up 1,600 feet.
It's all the way up. It's just right up the creek.
Believe it or not, I mean, it's only 1,600 feet from the edge of our property to where the existing Hollister plant is. So
when I talk about the old Layton place, that's what I'm talking about, is the way that it lays in there and then comes down and the existing bridge, and it's a narrow strip. It's something that we were dealing with on the east-west corridor. It's crossing the very tip of that, so I'm familiar with all that property out there. I've been over most of it, but That is a concern for us with other sewer projects that take place, so we need to keep that in mind. I was under the same assumption that he is, that there was 19% or a smaller percentage of it owned by you. I didn't realize it was a third. That will make a great deal of difference in some of our, we're getting off track of what we're talking about here, but it's all connected
Committed to use more than our capacity, and then right. You have to buy capacity or increase the size of the plant.
When we met with DNR, who obviously are monitoring the usage by the county and by the city of Hollister, you know, we had inquired whether our capacity was currently being used, and they say that it's not, and that they kind of are monitoring the development plan, I guess.
They have limited it. I think that has been a questionable, but I think that's where the percentage kind of got off base, and I'm glad that you have came forward and give us some idea of exactly how much you do own, because that'll make a difference in the decision-making process that goes to the sewer board. I'm going to let you get back on track on where you were at, but the school and everything is all tied together with what you're trying to do here. So
it could be that the 19%, I think that there's two agreements. One is for $420,000, another one's for $150,000 or $160,000, I forget.
We have 50% of original capacity. Have they expanded?
No, they were just visiting about expansion.
50% of original
capacity? No, 33%.
Okay, and a third of the original. Now, if they expand, you've got so many gallons.
Right.
So
we're
the.
Got 5 gallons, I think.
Yeah, it was. There's so much dry and so much wet.
Right.
It's somewhere around 500,000 or
whatever.
It is.
The sewer department knows what the capacity.
Oh, they know what it is,
okay.
And DNR and the city of Hollister, and I believe that, and all of those people, we've. You know, when DNR, originally we were just going to expand our treatment plant, but, you know, there's been so much resistance to, you know, these private plants and so on, that we just felt that if we own the capacity, we may as well put it through, and then what happens is that one plant becomes a centralized facility that, you know, processes for everyone, so...
It's very interesting to learn this information at this time, so that we can put it to the SUR board and to the misunderstanding that I've had all along from it. So I was under the assumption that you guys had 19% all the time, which was going to change my argument on another issue.
Well, so, I stand to be corrected on it, but that's always been my understanding, and that goes back to the original capitalization of that plan. I think it was $7 or $8 million, and we put up a third of the money at the time. So.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
And I had covered everything that I needed to regarding the procedure, so I can answer any other questions that you might have about the procedures.
When are we talking about doing this?
Yeah, man, yeah. Timing is really the only question I had, is when are you guys going to begin the process here?
Soon. I think David covered it. We're just in the process of finalizing the various petition forms and resolutions and those types of things. We have to visit with the clerk and make sure that the information that she wants to have is there and that she understands what we're doing, and we make it as easy on her as we can by giving her a list of the property owners and those types of things. So we would anticipate that you'd be seeing it in the next few days, of certainly depending on your meeting schedule, the clerk's schedule, and those types of things. Yeah.
So you mentioned the clerk. Is there voting, Rick? You have to. Is there a vote?
Letters go out.
The petition.
Letters.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What was the question?
How's the process?
Basically, the petition has to have certain amounts of the property owners and that sort of thing. That's kind of where he's going, I think.
That's right. With the, if you think back to the original petition that formed the district, the petition to add property has to have the same information with respect to the property being added. So we'll need to run through all the same original filing requirements that we had to regarding the original formation of the district. And then there are certain statutory time requirements. The clerk has, it's up to 90 days to review that, but typically it can happen, I can tell you now, it'll be complete when it's filed, so shouldn't be too much review needed. And then the notices before the hearing has to be published 2 consecutive weeks, once each week before the hearing, and mailed to property owners 15 days before. So from the time of filing, a short review process, a couple weeks of notice, and then it will be before you. And the same rough timeline I just laid out applies to the request to remove property. So those two things will happen roughly simultaneously. We'll issue all those notices, and those two will be in front of you. So from the time of filing, if that can happen, say, by the end of this week, then we're looking at about 3 to 4 weeks out. And that's all depends upon your – we have to line up with your meeting schedule and so forth also.
Are you going to try to get us some of that information that would be helpful to them sometime prior to that so that they can look at it?
Yes, I think – I have a list of the other items that you would like to see in connection with this project and all the actions we're going to take, and we will take that back and we will make sure you have that information when these filings occur, so we can answer all the questions that you have about the effect of the project expanding, the infrastructure improvements, and so forth. Okay.
What else should we be asking, Bob?
Currently, you're underneath the county planning and zoning, is my understanding, and you have to comply with all of the FEMA requirements because the county has passed FEMA. You don't have to do that as an individual political entity as well. I know that you probably intend to do that, mm-hmm. But, or do you know the answer to that?
No, I don't think I know the answer to that question.
Bradley?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's something that we can review.
I've got a question about.
Ask it.
When you remove this certain area from the taxing district, what? Bob, I want to get back onto the sewer issue. Are we responsible? We were talking about roads. We were talking about the. The infrastructure itself, is all infrastructure like the sewer that you are have already, is that turned over to the
they're maintaining it. From what I understand, you're going to maintain
the infrastructure.
I'm talking about, yeah, but they've got...
You talked about roads and the subdivisions. He's talking about maybe sewer lines and other things. Are they going to continue to maintain those things?
I assume that the answer is yes. Go ahead.
Within Branson Creek, there's a master homeowner association that oversees the master plan for the entire development, and under each of that is the individual homeowners association. The sewer and all of the infrastructure within a district, within a subdivision, I'm sorry, a platted subdivision like the Fairway Villas or the Bluffs, all of that infrastructure becomes interior to that homeowners association. So none of this goes to the county. And just to clarify a point, the only reason for removing that project from the political subdivision is the political subdivision's taxing authority is only with respect to the special assessment. We're removing it because they've already paid the special assessment and the property's already been built on, so there is no... Now, those people still pay their regular property taxes just like everybody else, but with respect to the political subdivision, they no longer have any liability. So Fairway Villas and Fairway Bluffs and Oak Knoll, because they've already been developed, are no longer of any value to the CID because they can't be special assessed. They've already been special assessed. So that's the reason for removing them.
Just for grins, as you develop more, will there be other areas pulled out like that?
No, because when we now going forward, once the new bond is in place, we're only doing this in order to redo the bond.
I got it.
Once we go forward, when we go in, and let's just say we were starting, you know, equestrian subdivision and putting 50 lots in. Under the new bond, those 50 lots all get special assessed related to this bond, and, you know, the assessment pays off the bond, and then they're subject to the same taxing base that the rest of the county property owners are.
Okay. And that's 20 years.
Yeah, well, we have 20 years to pay off the entire bond. But, you know, as an example, in the first, in the first basic 5 years after the bond was done, you know, we've paid off about $4 million in special assessments, and we've only developed about 150 acres. So we've actually paid it off on an accelerated basis. But we had a very unique assessment structure because it was almost discretionary. We could put a very high assessment on one parcel and a lower one on another. And going forward, we have a much more traditional uniform across the board. Every house is going to get every lot will get a fixed assessment, and it'll just be treated as a regular special assessment tax to the district.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm good.
One other comment I could make regarding the different time frames we've talked about. There is the requirement when the initial petition was filed to have a 5-year plan attached to that petition. And the 20-year plan that he mentioned would be the developer's 20-year business plan, and also that would coincide with the repayment period of the bonds. Of the third of the three steps that I mentioned, when we file the amended petition, we can include an update on the 5-year plan, and that's when we can also include some comment on here's what's been done in connection with the first 5-year plan, here's what we're going to carry forward, and here's how we've met the goals so far, source, essentially update the plan. That 5-year plan that's part of the petition is, you can consider it more like the comprehensive plan of the CID. So whereas cities and counties may have a comprehensive plan that's a general plan for what's going to be done, that 5-year plan that's attached to the CID petition is essentially the CID's comprehensive plan, and we'll update that.
We'll talk about a master plan.
We
have a great master plan.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Thanks, everybody. How about a couple minute recess, and then we got a couple administrative things.
That sounds good. Is it?